AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve the entire southeastern Pennsylvania area, state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware, and you can listen on the radio if you live in those areas. However, you can also listen on the internet simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link right on the left side of the page. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of things to discuss. Today, I'd like to take a few minutes to have a heart-to-heart discussion about what our panel members are thinking, because we certainly have done more than our share over the years, and I want to say thank you to Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, Mark Indel, our engineer Henry Chaplinsky, our many guests, including Curtis Ellis, and so many people that have joined us over the years, because working together, we've done a lot of positive, and I use the word positive very often, and that's exactly what we've been doing. As you know, during 2018, we were encouraging America's businesses to highlight on their labels and packaging that their products are made or assembled right here in the United States of America. Well, that's been happening, and as I go shopping, I see more and more flags on products. I'm seeing more and more people looking about themselves to see what is happening with the products on the shelves. They're reading the labels, asking questions. This is what it's all about. I want to say thank you again to Larkin, Rich, Mark, Henry, and all of the people involved for helping us stay focused. We see so many things happening in the national news media on a scale which disturbs me greatly, because there's nothing that they're doing to educate the people, to bring the people together. So that's what it's all about. But I'd like to introduce, we have all of our panelists here with us today, and I thank them for being so faithful to us, because this message has walked quietly. It got bigger and louder and bigger and louder as time goes on. Now more and more people know about the movement, especially people within our broadcast range and our internet listeners. And now that more people are getting the message that is sent to them online, it's a reminder each and every week that we are here and that we're trying to do our very best to help people come out of this terrible rut that we've been in for many, many years. And I'm also going to ask all of you to help us promote November as American Made Month, because this is another positive promotion started right here during this broadcast with the help of our panelists, Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, and Mark Andel. They also helped me promote these messages. Those of you that I met in the last few weeks during some very well-attended events were very positive about our message. Some people spoke about the election. Many people are talking to me about how they're disappointed in the news media because they're not promoting the good things happening in America, just focused on everything that is bad. And that's really not good. We are giving good example. They are giving bad example. And unfortunately, many people only know what they see on news broadcasts or see coming up on their cell phones or flashing on their internet sites, which is really difficult for me to understand why they are so devoted to that instead of going out and speaking to people and getting their own message. So today, how about we have some heart-to-heart and get some reports on what is happening in our own communities, what we see, what we think would help. We're coming up on Thanksgiving next Thursday. It's hard to believe. It's just 8 days away. It's pretty scary. But we're coming up on that. Maybe today we could talk about what we could talk about with family and friends that we'll be seeing the day before Thanksgiving, during Thanksgiving dinner, after Thanksgiving. Let's talk about what we could do to impress them and encourage them to get involved. I'd like to begin today with Mark Andel. Mark, what are you seeing and what do you feel would help push the message even further along?
Yeah, how you doing, Mike, and listeners, and Rich, and Larkin, and Henry? Mike, it's a huge time of year, and I just want to remind the listeners the importance a consumer can play in this part, of course, owning the Made in America stores, the eight-year journey, Mike, your journey for years and years. But consumers have a lot of power. I just want to remind them this holiday season, this is game on. This weekend starts the kicks off this retail season, and anybody that owns a retail store, it comes down to the 30-something days from Black Friday to Christmas. We talk about it every year, but as a consumer, you can save or create a job with your purchase. Mike, we're always trying to educate, raise awareness, be consistent with our message, but consumers have the power, especially veterans. Talking to veterans lately, you know, coming off Veterans Day, we had a great 4K run and a barbecue. You know, they love what we're doing. You support the country you live in. If you talk to the Chinese, Japanese that visit our stores, they all believe in what we're doing. But I want to remind that consumer, when they're shopping, this big rush coming up, take a look at what you're buying, because you can make that difference, not only for yourself, for the consumer, but for that job. And I don't want to get past that. You know, again, I try to bring everybody in, you guys in, and the consumers. They've got a lot of power and a lot of choice. And with a simple choice, they can make a lot of change with their purchase, Mike.
You're right. And in fact, I was going to bring this up later, but a very nice lady stopped me about a week ago. And she said to me, you're promoting this American Made Month, but that's really discriminating against people who are foreigners. They're trying to also make a living. And I said to her, yes, you're right. I understand what you're saying, but you also have to understand that people in America have to get back to some level of employment. I mean, we are having a great unemployment rate right now, but there are a lot of people who have not been in the workforce for some time. They have to re-enter. We need a lot of people to be educated as to what businesses really need to make their jobs a success when they get in there, to be part of the business atmosphere. We have a lot of things to do, and they should have never got to this point. I'm not against any foreign-made product. I'm for that 50-50 balance. And when I mention the 50-50 balance, most people clam up, because that's nothing they can argue with. I mentioned one time before, there's a lady in Philadelphia. Her daughter works for one of the big retail chains. She's a manager there. And she said to me, I'm concerned that if you continue to push efforts like this American Made Month, that you're going to discourage people from going to their stores, and my daughter is going to be out of her manager's job. I said, oh, no. I told you this many times, no matter if the products are made in America or foreign made, the customer is still going to be looking for those products. Like, we laugh about the toaster so often. I understand that someone's in the process now of trying to get a toaster on the market. Hallelujah. Yep. But yes.
Yeah, you know, Mike, and I just, you know, the importance of Made in America products, making things in your country is cool, supporting entrepreneurship, inventorship. Talking to a lady yesterday that makes this utter cream we had on our other radio show, but her father was a pharmacist. They played with different chemicals and things and made solutions growing up, but she was an erector set girl, you know, and she teaches robotics now, trying to get these kids, you know, Made in America, buying products in their country helps the entrepreneur, the inventor. It helps get the skilled trades back in schools. The more they need, and we put a demand, so that consumer, our listener, Mike, I want them to know by research and buying a Made in America product, or asking somebody after they bought a foreign product, say, could you get more Made in America product? It helps everything we talk about. It's a complete working model where this country has to get going. We're dreamers and doers, and we have to get these people to realize that making something, building something in your own country is actually cool and fun, And it's that spark. It's all about the learning and education. So it's this whole round, you know, ball that we're talking about that we want to promote, Mike. It's not just Made in America for a Dollar. It really works. And the more they look into it, I think the more they'll understand, because our consumer is smart, but they have a ton of power without a Republican or Democrat, without Washington. They have a ton of power in their pocket from what they purchase.
You are absolutely right. And, you know, the biggest thing about the Look at the Labels campaign over the years is people are looking at the labels like never before. And when they look at these wonderful brand name products, then they look closely at the labeling and say, it's totally foreign made. How do you continue to have people buying it in America? And there's no competitive product like it at all. In fact, you know, Mark, you know better than most. Many of the, even the toolkit people and everything else, went foreign for a while. Some of them are starting to come back now, which is good, because American quality is not able to be duplicated. Larkin Conley, how are you doing?
Good morning, Michael, and good morning to all of our listeners, Mark, Rich. I just wanted to mention you brought up Thanksgiving and what we're thinking about Thanksgiving. I guess I have to admit, finally, as a senior member of my family, not the senior member, but a senior member, I'm the weird uncle. I have lived my entire life in a family where, to the person, they have been Democrats, progressive Democrats, liberals, and I stand alone as a beacon in the horizon. But let's just talk a couple seconds about the downside. What this means is that 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, which is starts every season, I've got to bolster up all my facts about the recount, about Trump, about his successes. I actually had a relative tell me the other day that Barack Obama was completely and totally responsible for today's economy. And to what I responded, do you really believe that? And they said, yes, I do. It started on his watch, and everything that's happening right now is a result. Well, it doesn't have anything to do with rolling back any of the restrictions and all the rest. I said, no. This is Barack Obama's economy. And I said, I want you to say that out loud one more time to me over the phone. Barack Obama is responsible for today's economy. Then I want you to take a breath and count to three, and then I want you to go, hee-haw, hee-haw. That's the biggest jackass remark I have ever heard in my entire life, to give him. Now, did the uptrend start under Obama? Yeah. Was the economy growing at something like 1.5%, 1.7%? And now, under Trump, They're chasing 4% growth. You know, you really, really need to give Donald Trump a break. He is not a political storm. He is a businessman, and he doesn't couch any of his feelings. If he feels a certain way and thinks of something, he says it comes out of his mouth. He's said a handful of things. You know, he said the other day, and I'll stop at this. He said the other day he kind of blamed the forest fires in California on the current government, the current state government out there. Now, here's the truth of the matter. He's 100% right. He's 100% right. Why do you have that kind of residential urban sprawl going on in the woods when you don't maintain your woods? I mean, if you come to Florida, if you go to Georgia, there are planned burns constantly. We manage our forests. They don't. They just decide they're going to build 8 homes and call it and give it a name. Now, should he have said it the day they were fighting the fire? Probably not. Should he said it the way he said it? No, but that's just what Donald Trump does, and it doesn't justify it. And you know, no two presidents are going to operate the same way, none of them. So, That's my opening remark. But oh, to be the weird uncle, I wish you all could have experienced it once, because it ends up being 24 against one. And I go, and
wow.
I go. Oh, no, there is not a Republican in my family. Either side. Not a single one. And so it's just they sit around the table, and you can see them handing the bat to the next guy, and that guy leans across the table and whacks me a couple times in the head with what he thinks is a tough question. And the fact that I can hold up until probably 11 o'clock at night when everybody at that point's been overserved I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that point. So happy Thanksgiving season, everybody. And Mark, I agree with you 150%. 40% of the business happens in the next 2 months.
And you know, by the way, if we don't support those little businesses, people are talking about the internet and all, that's great. But the local businesses, the brick and mortars that are there, also need our help. And by the way, many of the brick and mortar stores are helping us to push the American-made label, because they actually can talk business with their merchandisers, where on the internet, you just look at it, you buy it or you don't buy it. I see that, yeah. Rich Logis is ready to speak. Rich?
Before Rich says anything, Rich, let me add one more remark. And this is a comment to Mark. I haven't used this in quite a while, but I had a chance to use it this morning when I was coaching a young lady who wants to open a bakery, and she didn't know, no go, should I do it? I give up a good job. Can I make it work? And I was giving her the typical coaching, but I opened up the conversation by saying, what you're essentially setting yourself up to do is quit a 40-hour job so you can work 120 hours a week. And I thought after I'd said it, I thought, as was so truthfully said by Mark Angel of Buffalo, New York.
Yeah. And you do, when you're in a business, you have to live and breathe the business, because the bill comes in, it has to be paid. You order services, they have to be watched over and paid after the service is installed. Yeah, it's a lot of work. People do not know that, but being an entrepreneur is also very important, as Rich Logis very well knows. Before you come on, Rich, I just want to tell you, I was listening to the Rich Logis show a couple days ago, and you're an equal opportunity offender, and I do like that. That's a great statement. That really always cheers me up. And I enjoyed your report on the election. And this is what it's all about. You have a lot of energy, and I'm going to encourage, if anyone would like to hear the Rich Logis show, you just go on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on Rich's picture. And if you want to hear Mark Andel's broadcast, you go on the right side and go down a few, right under the symbol for his store. You will see his broadcast. Check him out, because all of us together are making good things happen in the USA. Take it away, Rich.
Good morning, Michael. Hey, guys, Mark, Larkin, listeners. And, Michael, thank you so much for the plug on that. I changed my scheduling, my recording schedule around, because I was missing coming on Wednesday, and I miss coming on. It gives me a chance to also test and pilot my propaganda before I now do it on Thursday. So I changed everything around. Thank you so much for that. And I've got some good news. I've actually got some good news for you guys. And I just want to make a comment that Larkin is going to need to be canonized because of his patience when it comes to politics. And look, I don't think it's fair to give zero credit to President Obama for economic gains. But here's what I've been asking Democrats, Republicans, whatever ideology they may ascribe to. When Hillary Clinton ran for president, if the economy was so great, why did she never, ever run on? I mean, when the candidate of the incumbent party is running, they always run on the successes of the person who's there. So, President Obama had this supposed alleged economic genius acumen, why is it that Clinton never, ever ran on that? I mean, voters would have known better, right, Michael?
That's exactly right.
Right, so why didn't she, you know, so that's, I just asked that question. And it's not a gotcha question. I just asked the question, if this is all true, why didn't Clinton run on that? Why wasn't there a touting of this supposed economic genius? And the reason is because it wasn't there. And everyone's getting this wrong. The economy's really doing very well today because of President John Adams. So you got to go all the way back to the late 1700s, Michael. That's really what they're all missing.
How many minutes is it, Rich?
Right, Mark? I mean, that's really why the gains are happening. You know, you got to go back to Washington, Adams, and Jefferson. You know, it takes 240 years for these efforts to pay off. The good news that I have, Michael, I spent 3 days with dozens of business owners last week at a trade show. It was a technology trade show. And I did this. I always do this. I always ask them, you know, how long you been in business? How's business? How are things going for you this year? And to the person, Michael, and I talked to dozens of people, to the person, they said that they expect to have one of their best or their best sales and revenue year this year, when all is said and done. That's good news. No matter how, whatever, see, when President Obama was the president, I never ever wished for the economy to do poorly, Michael. That way of thinking exists on the minority legislation side. Because even though the Dems took over the House, the reality is that they're still legislatively throughout the country, state and national, the minority legislative party. This desire for the economy to go south exists to some extent on that side. And that's really, I mean, that's anti-American, right? No, none of us here ever wished for small business owners and working families to lose their savings, lose their businesses, so we could turn around and say, oh, this gives us a chance to criticize President Obama. This madness, it's all, what it does, Michael, is it undermines the gains that have been made for over a year and a half. I have no problem to give President Obama some of that credit. But we need to not pretend, this fantasy land, that the reason, the primary reasons for these economic gains are tax reform and regulation cuts.
Right.
$33 billion have been cut out of federal regulations. Now, some businesses benefit more than others when it comes to regulation cuts. But we have a dynamic, which also can mean volatile, but we have a dynamic free market where numerous industries and numerous companies do business with each other and transact with each other. So when the market, when the small business market is healthy, you see economic gains. That's why Mark's doing well right now. I'm happy to say that, and it's not because of me, we're going to have, for the fifth year in a row, and 9 out of 10 years I've owned this company, we're going to increase our prior year's sales. So things are on the up and up. And now we're going to see, if Nancy Pelosi can challenge or can channel, assuming she's the House Speaker, can she channel her inner Newt Gingrich? Because whatever one's opinion of Gingrich, there's a reason, Michael, that economically we did pretty good in the second half of the 90s. The rise of Silicon Valley, President Clinton deserves some credit also, because when it's not good, they get criticized, right? So there's some credit deserved there. But when you really look at the finances of it, it's because we had a Congress that essentially went to the president and said, we are going to balance budgets and we're going to have surpluses. And we had it for 4 years. So I know, Larkin, that, you know, you've argued with Gingrich that he's, you know, he sort of broke the system, but, you know, I don't know. I kind of like, I wish that Paul Ryan had been a little more like a Gingrich, you know, and I'm not saying I agree with all things and you know, he's too free trade for me, but when you look at our history, Michael, we did well economically because we had a major industry that was surging and burgeoning. Clinton was excellent at keeping gatekeeping, and we had a Republican Congress led by a guy who said, I'm going to lead. Give me the chance to lead. I won't let you down. And all things considered, there were some bad mistakes in hindsight, NAFTA, government shutdowns. But look at why we did well then. Because we reined in spending, and we let business and the markets thrive. Can Nancy Pelosi do that with the House and the President and the Republican Senate? I really hope so, Michael. I'm not optimistic, though, unfortunately.
But, Rich, I agree with you 1,000%. But, you know, this is an opportunity now that we have a House this way and a Senate this way for everybody to try to work on the same sheet of music. This, by the way, will prove to the American people, to the voters, to the skeptics, that there is possibilities. If Nancy Pelosi or whoever will be the leader presents positive things for the country, they will benefit. If the Senate approves positive things for the country, they'll also benefit. The problem we've been suffering from for years and years in the media, since so many of these internet channels and cable channels came around, is they've been pushing nothing but bad news. How many people can you, Larkin, tell me that went to the television, turned it on, and said, wow, that person just shared great news with me. That person just shared great ideas with me. That person just shared ways for me to contact my school board to make sure we get more trade programs in the schools. I don't know anybody that can tell me that. Yes, Larkin.
Well, the problem with the whole thing is that the Jim Acosta event at the White House, I'll argue with anybody until I'm blue in the face. Jim Acosta was wrong. He didn't ask a question. He attacked the president from the very get-go, from the very first remark that he made. He was on an attack mission, and he asked a pretty stupid question. And when Trump started to give his answer, he interrupted him. If I were Trump and I'm the president of the United States, I'm taking the microphone right away from his hands and giving it to somebody else. This is my press conference, not yours. He will answer the question, and he tried to answer that question, but Acosta wouldn't. And so the problem is CNN is the news. It's not the news that's the news. It's CNN. And it's that Don Lemon guy that can't. If he gets past his six tables, I'd be a bit surprised. And Rich, let me clear up my feeling about Newt Gingrich. He put that wedge in the middle of the aisle and started to drive it between the two sides of the aisle. But he almost had to do that in order to get accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. And what he wanted to accomplish worked. It was good for the economy, and it was good for the country. So it sometimes takes people yelling at both sides. Ooh, does that sound like somebody we have right now? It takes somebody attacking both sides and saying, here's what we're going to do. Don't stand there and mouth off to me and tell me 15 reasons why, because I paid a young lady a requisite amount of money to have a romp with her. It goes back to, it's like the same old question, the chicken and the egg. The chicken and the egg get their arms around each other, and all of a sudden they get a little amorous, and they have a roll in the hay. And after they're done, the both of them are sitting there smoking a cigarette, and the chicken takes a puff off the cigarette, blows out the smoke, and turns to the egg and said, well, I guess that answers the long-time question.
Larkin, well, Michael, who is that person in national politics right now who could do a Gingrich-type job?
No one. Congress, nobody.
No one.
I agree. No, there's no one there. And Larkin, as much as I hate saying this, even if we had someone, I'm not sure it would make much of a difference with the establishment Republican Party. The establishment Republican Party, Michael, I've said before, there's a large segment of it that's going to stand for as long as President Trump is president. They're going to stand in opposition to him. Because even if they don't want to quite spend at the rate of the Dems, and they don't want quite as big a government, they like too much government and spending.
Well, that's right.
It's just a fact. You know,
Richard, but as we've discussed many times, and American workers understand this, and the businesses that are employing them really understand it, most of these people that are in government, elected to be in government, the most payroll that they paid is when they raised money to run on the campaign and they paid a few staff people. But they're not. They're not there.
You are dead on with that, Mike. They just do not understand. I've had no line of credit for 3 years. What it takes to make your own money each week and pay your bills. They don't know the fight we have. Larkin, if it's two people or 50 or a small business, all these little small businesses make up this country, and it's got to be known. So the more we educate, the better.
You know, you're right. And, Mark, the thing is, when I talk to people, they say, look at the money and the credit cards going through this store.
Yes,
and
sales,
I say, well, you know what? It's only probably about a 20% profit, if that, in many of these situations, because after you put all the overhead, the employees, the cleaning the stores, restocking the shelves, all of that, the profit is not every dollar, 99 cents of every dollar going into the cash register. But see, people that have never been in business, which unfortunately is most of the elected people in Washington, they can keep proposing all these crazy ideas. We want this, we want that.
Even in our own company, it takes weeks, months, years to explain to people in our own team what it takes to make a dollar, and then they're blown away. In retail, the first three quarters, first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, the 9 months, you're investing. You're putting more money out than you're bringing in, and then you got to flop that around. It's a crazy game, and then that last 30 days, I'm just going through that now with a new bank explaining. I mean, retail is a tough, tough area, especially retail. Manufacturing a little different. Other people get hot spots during the years. Retail comes down to that fourth quarter.
You know what? I think maybe it's time to put something in the schools where it's a year spent, a certain subject a day or a week, how to run your own business. I think that's a subject that should really be there.
Right.
Because that's where the future is.
Mason has that in school. He has a class called Entrepreneurship, and they watch Shark Tank all the time. And then they have to do a project on it and stuff. He was talking to me about it. He wants Logis to go on Shark Tank and go against those guys. He said, Dad, can't you create a project with Uncle Cray Cray and get on there? And
they want me to be a judge on a show like that from our school. So pretty cool. We get rid of
that. That's very good. And if they have that kind of a project, very good. But Shark Tank is only one area. How about before you get to Shark Tank? You know what I'm saying? The people going to Shark Tank have already started. They've already got their feet wet.
Well,
how about
Mike,
a person who wants
today
to do something? Maybe they want to go in and be an electrician or a plumber in the neighborhood where they live.
Well,
how about those people who want to make a bakery store, a candy store, a grocery store, whatever? How about they know what it takes? First, rent, insurance, telephone service, all this has to be paid before one penny of profit is made.
Yeah, Henry, I think, is talking about Shark Tank. Like in our high school, they actually run a Shark Tank program, and they simulate Shark Tank as the show, but it's in your high school, and they let these kids run through a similar format.
Yeah, that's it.
And if they let Logis do that, they better bring a lot of Band-Aids. Lots of Band-Aids.
Control the coffee.
But, you know, you have to be careful, and this is why I think it all comes all down to the most important years in the development of a child's life, and that's high school. Not everybody's suited to be an entrepreneur. They just flat aren't. I mean, it takes a special individual. And I'm going to go right back to what Mark has said for years. You give up an 40-hour-a-week job to work 120 hours on your business. It takes a special person. And a lot of people, you know, I've had people come in and sit down, I want to start this, I want to do this, oh, it sounds great, I want to do that, I want to do this. I said, okay, let's take a look at some numbers. Let's take a look at your demographic and where you want to work and what you want to do, blah, blah, blah. And he said, at what point do we talk about when I get my BMW? And I said, well, BMWs usually come in 2 weeks after you sold the business.
That's right.
Because while you're working the business, son, you won't even have the time to drive a BMW, let alone own one. And so people come in with this, and on the other side of that axiom are the people that say, oh, you own your own business. Man, you must be rich.
That's the problem, Larkin.
Boy,
that is the problem.
You're one of those one percenters. I know you are. And I'm going, wait a minute. I haven't paid myself in 2.5 months. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's funny, Mark. You know, when I tell people they're starting a business, I tell them two things. You know, stay hungry and never quit. That's my big speech. And when you put your sign up, get used to being a millionaire, because that is a fact. That's what people think. That's the stigma that comes along with it. And that's a problem because, you know, I talk to so many people like you do, Larkin, that's working in a business. And it is you got to be a special, special person. And you go ups and downs. But that debt, handling the debt, is really something you got to wake up every day and start over with. You can't keep it in you. If you can't release that stress, you got a problem.
Absolutely. And, you know,
you haven't lived until you have laid in bed at 11:30 at night, staring at the ceiling, absolutely can't fall asleep because you know you have a payroll in 3 days and you have no idea where the money's going to come from.
That's right. You know, Larkin, we're talking about how the educational system has been failing our kids. Well, I'm sure that everyone listening and all of us here agree that every life is precious. And every parent wants really the best for their children. So when they go to school, they're depending on the school to be the place where the children get a good example and good experience about what is going on in the world around them, whether they live in the city or suburbs. Some of the things that I hear from many good people is they say they want an equal education for everybody. And it's true. We're all paying a lot of taxes for education for our youth to go to the school. Why is one district better or worse than the next? That's the big thing. And if we have a Shark Tank program, which we should do much better than the Shark Tank by making the children understand. Start from scratch. What would I do if I wanted to open a business? How do I start? What do I do? The children, our children are precious. We have to start pushing these kinds of subjects down them so that they on their list of things to do, because otherwise we're just wasting our time, wasting our educational dollars, and the people in the school system are doing just what they're told. If they're told they have to start classes like this, they'll start them. If they're not, then we do business as usual.
It's again, you have to be very careful when you look at a school district like Jacksonville. It's in terrible condition. It's in awful shape. The curriculum is terrible. I mean, everything about the school is bad. They're having kids shot at schools. They're getting caught in crossfire, waiting at bus stops for between two games. I mean, Jacksonville's got, and it's not Jacksonville alone. A lot of cities have that problem. If you travel 25 feet, and that's what it takes you to get across the from Duval County to St. John's County, it's the number one district in the state. Number one, has been for like 6 years running. And it is because it is a stronger economy. Their board represents a group of highly educated people, successful, who make decisions and listen to the people. But when you go to Jacksonville, they struggle with family. They struggle with economy. The kids go to bed hungry every night. It's all about the economy. Stupid.
Well, and maybe this is now a good conversation. Maybe we should promote this for the entire year of 2019. Is what do we do to get rid of those school administrators that are not helping to bring this matter to the public's attention?
But Michael, you guys got to heed Larkin's comments that he said time and time again on this, and of the many, many insightful, correct things that Larkin has said here on this show over the years. The war is won and lost in the home. It doesn't matter if trillions of dollars are sent to the Jacksonville school districts if the war is being lost in the four walls of the home. Nothing else matters.
I agree 1,000%.
It's not that nothing else matters, Michael. Let me clarify my comment. The common denominator where economic times are tough and have been tough, where crime never decreases, where the schools have always failed. What is the well, there's two common denominators. Who's been running the place for thousands and thousands of consecutive days, which in my opinion, I'm no sociologist, Larkin, but in my opinion, it is not a coincidence that in those same places, the wars at home are often lost because the culture is not about abundance. It is not an earner's culture. It is a dependency culture. That's what exists there. And there's a lot of good people, Michael, a lot of good people who get entangled in that because of the utter and abject failures of leaders in those areas. That doesn't mean people are not responsible for their own lives and their own families, Michael. That's not what I'm saying. But you can't look at all the data and say, Mark, it's got to be a coincidence. You can't do it. You just can't honestly do it.
You know, Rich, you made the comment. I'm going to have to give you the credit for it. Although I might steal it and write a book. What we don't have is an earners and learners culture.
Hmm. That's well said.
Hey, I stole it right from Rich because he said earners and learners. We don't have earners and learners in these cities that are so devastated. You can't be a learner if there's no money in family at home. You can't be encouraged to go to school if when you wake up in the morning, nobody's there. You grab a bowl of cold cereal and you walk out of the house and go, hell, I don't feel like going to school today. I'm going to go down and hang in the corner. If I went down and hung at the corner when I got home, my father would have skinned me alive. And I mean it. And that doesn't happen anymore. Nobody cares what happens to the children because the families have collapsed in the city. And until we notice that that's the problem, one side wants to fix it. And I hate to be this brash about a comment like this, but one side wants to fix it. The other side wants to throw money at it, start a small fire, and let's just start heaping money on it. That'll make the problem go away. No, it won't.
No, it won't. And Larkin, I'm going to ask you a question. How was that school district 25 years ago? How was that neighborhood 25 years ago?
St. John's County?
Yes.
The one that does so well now?
Yes.
Well, it probably barely registered on anybody's seismometer. I mean, it's a relatively new, it's a growing county. You know, we have 500 home starts in this dinky little county that on the books right now have been let, homes that haven't been started. So it's all brand new counties. We don't have a barrio here. We don't have a hood.
And how about in the county that is doing so poorly? How was it 25 years ago?
It's the hood.
Was it the hood 25 years ago?
I can't speak to that because I don't know. Duval County is geographically, land-wise, mass-wise, the largest county in the country.
I'm asking mainly because the loss of jobs, did they have anything to do with what happened in some of those counties?
No. It's always been, to my knowledge, Jacksonville's always been military, Navy. It's a huge U.S. Navy, Navy port, and fishing. Listen, far and away, the number one element of the Florida economy is tourism. Far and away, number one. I mean, number two, I don't think is anywhere near even close to it. As the tourist goes, as the weather goes, and I'm going to say this really out loud for Mr. DeSantis because he'll be our next governor, as the quality of our water on our shores goes, so goes the state of Florida.
Well, Larkin, I can see where that Florida is a heavy tourist area with all the great, you know, beaches and Disney and all that. But when you come up our way, I would like to hear what Rich knows about the New York area. Have you seen better times 25 years ago
in
the school districts and the neighborhoods when people had more jobs?
I just published an article. It's going to be at my site tonight where I say I grew up in Westchester County. I lived there for 35 years. It is the limousine liberal capital of America. It has the highest county property taxes of any county in the U.S. It was a place in 2016 where Mercedes Maybach drove around with "I'm with her" bumper stickers on them. That's who I grew up with. South Florida Democrats are infinitely worse. They're worse, Larkin. They're way worse down here. I mean, down here is like Chicago light. The Broward County Supervisor of Elections is like our version of a Chicago Richard Daley or New Orleans Dixiecrat down here.
Can you believe that she allowed that to happen again?
No, the thing I don't understand, Larkin, I want you guys to, people are asking me all the time, how can people lose ballots? How can they be lost in some basement, some filing drawer or whatever? Why doesn't Florida go into the modern election system like we have in Pennsylvania?
Oh, it is very modern. It's modern.
But they're showing all these ballots being pushed through this, you know, counting machine.
Well, this is going to happen more and more often. As you expand the opportunity to vote, now, I agree, you know, if you ask me what the problem is, so just too many ways for me to vote four times and get away with it. But all that being said, I want to go back. You know, I'm an old-timer. You know, I'm a conservative. I want things to be the way they work as they worked. I want election day to be election day, and you've got from 7 a.m. in the morning to 7 p.m. at night to vote. And guess what? That election day is a national holiday. That's how important voting is. So make it a national holiday so nobody has an excuse for not going out to vote. But the more and more you queer up the way people vote, I mean, I think there's six different ways you can vote in Florida right now. And so you got ballots, hard paper ballots coming through the mail, coming through courier service. You know, it's going to get worse. It's going to get lots worse. And
well,
of course,
I'll hear
at the Thanksgiving table is, oh, all you're trying to do is restrict the ability for people who have a hard time getting to the polls a chance to vote. Yeah, well. Smoke this. Get out of my face. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I'll tell you guys something. If I were the Alabama and Mississippi governor, I would go to the state legislatures today and say 90% income tax for all new residents from out of state. Because I'm telling you, Lark, I refute, first off, we're going to be victorious down here. Okay? And again, Michael, my article goes through what the play really is about. The play down here, as much as the Dems want to keep Nelson in the Senate seat, the play here is really about Andrew Gillum. Because Gillum getting into the governor's mansion, everything you're seeing here, we cannot say that it is fraud, because everyone is right. You can't say that. You have to go through a legal process to say that, so it's alleged. What is not alleged is our history down here of electoral incompetence and or malfeasance is well documented. And the great Justice Scalia said it best in Bush versus Gore when he said it as in the majority ruling. Collecting votes, counting them, and then determining which are legal is unconstitutional. So the play down here is actually really about Andrew Gillum. Because I'm going to tell you, Larkin, if Ron DeSantis down here does not on day one begin the state Senate process, there's a process, Michael. You can't just wave the magic wand. It is not a dictatorship. There is a state process through the state Senate to remove Brenda Snipes in Broward, Susan Bucher in Palm Beach, and Scott Israel, the sheriff in Broward, whose gross incompetence helped contribute to the Parkland shooting. If DeSantis does not on day one begin the process of getting them out of office, he's a one-termer, Larkin, and it won't even be close in 2022. Fact.
Yep.
So it's time for South Florida, the Republicans down here, to stop with this mutual destruction mentality and start to shine the light on the cockroaches and watch them all come out. Because what goes on down here, Michael, isn't normal. I'm telling you, maybe it went on in New York, Mark, and I just never noticed it. Maybe it was covered up better. But down here, There's a reason why that there is a reason why it occurs down here, Michael. And the reason it is because of who runs the show down here. It's not that different of a person and of a group that runs Philly and the other inner cities. And by the way, I love Philadelphia, okay? I'm not just trying to put the city down, just like anywhere else. Anywhere that they have a supermajority like they do here, there's problems. Larkin's right. Yep. We have You've got 10 days to vote down here, Michael.
Well, I agree with Larkin. It should be one day.
Yeah.
One day. And if you can't be there, you have to have a registered absentee ballot submitted. And if there are military, they are due on the day of election to be on the table at the counting time.
So if you know you're not going to be there, is what you're saying to me that you want to vote? Now, if somebody's military, somebody's genuinely out of the country but a U.S. citizen and a registered voter, that's a paper ballot, and I understand that. There's not that many of those. But if I live here and I have to work on Election Day, I have 2 weeks prior to go in and vote. In St. Johns County, I think there were like 8 different places I could vote. And we were paying money to have people sit there and watch the vote, I'll have you know. But can't we just have a voting machine set up with one guy sitting there? Here's your name, another badge, okay, step in that booth. I mean, there can't be long lines.
Yeah.
Well, they have to go into a new system the way we have in Pennsylvania. That election system in Pennsylvania is much better.
Michael, we have 67 counties in Florida. For 6 months out of the year, when all the snowbirds come down, all the Canadians come down and tell us how much they dislike American trade as if we really care what they think. No offense to our friends in Canada. When they come down, during our winter months, we are the second most populous state in the country behind California. Yep. The other 6 months, we're the third most populous state. We overtook New York last year. There are 67 counties in this state. There are only 2 counties that did not adhere to and follow state election law, which now the Dems are trying to move the goalposts, Larkin, of changing the law through judges. There's only 2 counties, Broward and Palm Beach, where I live. Only 2, Michael, out of the 67. Only 2. What do you think those 2 have in common? You think they're Federalist
Democratic
Society members who are lifetime NRA members? What do you think?
No.
Yeah, you know. It's 2 counties out of the 67, and it's not just this election. It's not just this election. I've read the national press coverage of what's Washington Post, New York Times, etc. I have read the coverage, Larkin, of what has gone on down here. Do you know they don't even talk about the fact that our Broward supervisor of elections was found by a judge to have destroyed ballots, to have left amendments off state ballots? I mean, they don't even talk about that. So your point, Michael, about the press, you know, the press exists to serve what its market wants. So when you see CNNs and the MSNBCs and the Foxes and anyone else, they're serving what their market wants. If you don't watch media, you're uninformed. If you watch it, you're misinformed. So that's
what very well said.
That's the fact of it.
You know, in Pennsylvania, the day of the election, everybody knows where everybody stands. Maybe there's something so close. It's 49.5 to 49.5 in a few races. But the majority of the state, everybody knows what's what. I don't understand why every state doesn't follow the easy way of making sure an election is properly presented and everybody has a chance to register, everybody has a chance to vote. 10-day period sounds a little excessive to me, and it sounds like it could be doctoring votes too, to be very honest. I mean, that's not good for American workers to have votes doctored and all this time. Look at the time wasted in the media in the last 2 weeks, beating and beating all these Election Day problems that we've had. They've just, you know, this is a lie. That's no good. And Florida's, of course, been in the focal point of the whole thing. It's got to come to some kind of a hedge. We have all this money going into elections, and yet the elections are running up where you need a recount. If you had it done electronically, with a backup electronically, I don't think you would have these problems, no matter how many counties you have.
Well, that's why Florida's petrified. That's why the play is Gillum, Michael, because DeSantis gets in there and on day one could begin to shine the light on the cockroaches. He gets three state Supreme Court justices. With Gillum, everything gets swept under the rug. Everything is, you know, a right-wing conspiracy, and we just continue on. And I fear, I really genuinely fear, we continue our fundamental transformation from purple to blue. Which, sorry, guy, I got to sit down. Whenever I say transformation, I get
lightheaded.
Sorry. Let me sit down. It's just, sorry. Transformation. Sorry, guys. I'm gonna take a break. Okay, let me call 911 on this. Give me a second. All right. So that's what it's all about. That's why Gillum is the play. But we're gonna be victorious, Larkin. We will.
Well, I want to see how this is all going to turn out, because this is not the way an election should be. And if Florida's been doing that, it's time for it to end. Put it on the way it should be, and let's get this thing moving again. Our focus has to be on promoting jobs, more businesses, helping our industries grow in the USA. Focus on American Made Month every day. Not just during November. Of course, November is the proper time to promote it because it's the last quarter of the year, and the businesses need our businesses locally as well as nationally. So please go out of your way as we're getting closer and closer. Next week, we'll be here for the day before Thanksgiving, and maybe we'll have some more Thanksgiving ideas to share with you. And of course, we'll be encouraging you to go out and support your local stores as well. As you can see by the clock on the wall, it's time to say goodbye. I'd like to say thank you to Larkin, Mark, Rich, Henry, and all of you, because you are the soldiers that are making our movement move forward. Thanks, everyone. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best.